Hey everyone, welcome back to Who's There? Surprise, you get another bonus episode. The last one before the new year, I think, probably. Who knows, there might be a year-end roundup coming soon too, so keep an eye out for that. I'm your host, Allison. If you're new here, thank you for joining us. This is a podcast where I talk to a new horror fan every week because I hope to destigmatize what it means to be a horror movie fan, because most of us are just regular people who like the adrenaline rush of being scared for some reason. And here we delve into those reasons. This is my last traditional interview of the year, as I said, and I just wanted to thank everyone who listened this year and connected with me on social media. It's awesome to have all of you here. I hope to do more connecting in 2024. It's my goal, and I'm saying this so I can be held accountable. I want to put out 52 episodes next year. So if you want to be a guest, shoot me an email at who'stherepc@gmail.com and we can set something up. Let me know if you have a movie coming out too. For the last interview of the year, I'm joined by horror scholar Joshua Grant Young. He is currently writing his dissertation for his PhD at the University of Guelph, and his research focuses on horror's capacity to speak on various social issues, i.e., mental difference, femicide, trauma, and grief. It's super interesting episode, and I am so happy to have had multiple horror scholars on the podcast this month. So that's super cool. If you want to get more involved with the show and join the community over on Patreon, click the link in the show notes, and for only $3 a month, you'll get access to early episodes, stickers, a monthly newsletter, and more. As always, please take a second to rate and review us wherever you listen, and let's get into my conversation with Joshua Grant Young. Hey Josh, how are you?
Doing well. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you so much for being here. Do you want to start by telling everyone a little bit about yourself?
Happy to be here. Yeah, sure. So my name is Josh Grant Young. I'm currently a PhD candidate at the University of Guelph, where I am writing a dissertation on horror. So talking about sort of my passion in life, horror films, horror literature, a little bit of music here and there, television. So just all kinds of horror stuff.
Awesome. I can't wait to talk about that in a little while, but first things first, what's your favorite scary movie?
Oh, okay. So I feel like on other podcasts, I've said it's definitely Houseu, the Japanese film.
Oh, I've never heard of it. How do you spell it?
Hausu.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah, it's a very strange movie in the sense that, if I remember correctly, the concept behind it, I guess, is that the director had sort of asked his kid, what do you find scary? And this kid had said, well, pianos that eat people, cats that shoot laser beams out of their eyes, haunted houses, all that kind of stuff. So it's a deeply weird movie because I believe he also had previously worked in advertising, which, if you watch the movie, there's scenes where, if you lived through the 90s, you remember all the sort of diamond commercials with a sort of soft focus and ambient light, and everything's very sort of romanticized and blurred a little bit. There's some scenes like that. There's some scenes that seems like it's right out of like a Pepsi or Coke commercial, weird kind of things. And then it goes, completely in the other direction, where you have, floating heads talking to people and, blood everywhere. It's a very strange movie. But, maybe the more recent, I've been thinking about it, the more recent retcon of Suspiria is growing on me as like a second sort of choice.
Nice.
I think the remake is growing on me, because I do love the original, but the remake is starting to really creep in as
Awesome.
a potential second choice.
Nice. How did you first fall in love with the horror genre?
So my parents, I grew up in a very sort of film-centered house, and my parents were very much into black and white films, noir films, mystery films, a lot of Cary Grant movies, and of course some Hitchcock's in there too. But I think some of the first horror movies I watched, the Universal Monster series as a kid. I used to go to the library and pick, a new one to watch every week or every 2 weeks. Plan 9 from Outer Space left a large impression on me, because I think on a recent podcast I was talking about how The first thing I ever wrote as a kid when I was like 3 or 4 years old was this construction paper book of a nightmare I had after I watched the movie about being chased by, sort of zombie creatures. And so it's always kind of been, I guess, in the background as a kid. There was always, a sort of smattering of different older movies. So, I mean, I didn't get into like the slasher genre or, sort of more contemporary horror until I was probably in grade school. But very early on, my parents were sort of like right there pushing me into really interesting movies right out of the gate as a kid. So I
Nice.
feel blessed.
Thank you, Mom and Dad.
Thank you, Mom and Dad.
So, why do you think people who seem perfectly sane love the horror genre?
That's a great question. I mean, my question, because I work a lot on sort of mental differences or what people would, refer to as mental health or mental illness. And my sort of question, as somebody who has, mental health conditions, I suppose, would be one way to look at it, is why do people who are considered mentally ill like horror movies? Is the sort of, my question back. And I sometimes wonder because, people who seem perfectly sane, I could imagine, probably get a lot of, I've talked to some researchers who talk about, I guess, the sort of psychological catharsis of watching things that, might scare you, but they're not really real, and there's a sort of exercise that stimulates your fear or whatever. And, but I guess I've always sort of been interested in, for people like me who watch a genre that regularly, casts people who are considered mentally ill, or mentally different, including people, who are in the autism spectrum or people with mental handicaps, as being, these violent, sadistic criminals who chase people all over hell and creation. Why do we like the genre when it basically spends a lot of time making us out to be the dangerous, scary people that everybody in the world should be worried about? And, on one hand, that's like a tough question to answer because, when I see people like, Michael Myers, where, the sort of Donald Pleasance, he's just pure evil. There's, nothing but evil behind those eyes. You kind of get the sense that it's like, well, we're, almost a sort of like foil for the genre, right all the way back to, the mad scientist who creates the monsters that, ultimately, wreak havoc on the world. But I guess more recently, I've started to see, and I mean, it's a mixed bag, I think, positive ways that the horror genre has approached mental differences and how it's talked about trauma, whether it's generational or not, how it's talked about, the experience of depression or how it's talked about grief in particular and how the pathologizing grief and treating it as this sort of thing we don't talk about or this thing that we're, not going to broach as a culture. With movies like The Babadook, certainly is one that in my thesis I talk a lot about the idea of pathologized grief and the sort of danger of what happens when we as a culture create these social norms around, what's good grief. So it's a mixed bag, right? Because, certainly for people who are, on the outside looking in, you might get the impression that like, oh, like it's kind of neat and interesting to sort of think about, all these people who might be, considered sadistic psychopaths or, deeply troubled people. And, it's all very scary and fun for them. But, for people who, deal with things like schizophrenia or, different personalities, to see movies like Split, is it hurts in a certain sense to think, this is, because I've certainly known people in my life who have family members who experience some of these things. And like I said, as somebody who experiences my own mental difference, it's tough when people are like, oh, is that what it's really like? And, I mean, that's not everybody, but certainly for some people, it's, the question is, like, what do I get out of watching a genre that regularly makes me, this kind of strange, scary other. I mean, it's the same with people who have talked about race and horror, people have talked about women in horror. It's a challenging genre, but I think that's why I like to stick with it, is I don't want to say, boo to horror, but I also don't want to say, like, you're off the hook 100%. You're doing a great job, right? You want to be, I can love it, but be critical.
Yeah, totally. So what scares you in horror movies today and in real life?
I think what scares me in horror movies is the tone of a horror movie more than anything. Because I think, a jump scare, sure, it'll get you, and it's, gets me. And, there's a lot of other ways, I guess, you get sort of thrills out of people. But I really like when a film can cultivate like a really unsettling tone where, the music is just right, the lighting is just right, there's building suspense, and it sort of references other works within it. That's something to me that really, screams good horror.
Yeah, me too. I definitely agree with that.
Like, it's that's a sign of a really good, piece of work. In terms of, what scares me in real life, I guess what scares me is, and maybe it sort of speaks to why I research some of the stuff I research, is how easily we can sort of, as a culture, have the wrong impression about something, and how that wrong impression can sort of snowball into deeply, difficult and sometimes harmful views. And that could be applied to a lot of different people and a lot of different things. But I think when we're, living in a culture where sometimes things are not always clear, it's hard to get a good sense of what's going on, and then you might get the wrong impression, and people run with that, and that could be a lot of different things. So very abstract stuff, unfortunately. I'm good in terms of, like, oh yeah, what scares me, walking home, unfortunately.
What's your favorite subgenre in horror?
Probably body. I used to think maybe it was psychological horror, but I do like sort of body horror in a lot of ways because I'm still trying to get a sense of, what it is that I like about it. I think in part it's, when I think about, movies like The Thing or any movie really that, David Cronenberg's done, like, the ability to do practical effects is always impressive to me. Somebody who can, really craft like a good sort of, like, gross thing is always, and I think it sort of like speaks to some of our anxieties about different things, because I mean, certainly, when I think about, other scholars that I know or other people that I know who engage with this from, like a disability lens, the idea that, body horror also sort of folds in, different disabilities or, ideas of, ugliness or, like, what's gross to us as a culture can even fold that in too, and that sort of adds an interesting element to horror as well. So it's something that I always go back to and think a lot
That's really
about.
interesting.
How about you?
My favorite is found footage or psychological horror.
I really watched that many found footage. I mean, like, I remember when the original Blair Witch came out, and I was like into it. And then for years, I kind of just forgot that that was a thing. And now there's a lot of really cool stuff coming out. So I'm definitely here for it, but I need to catch up.
You have some homework to do. Who are your favorite horror directors?
Good question. I don't know that I have like specific favorites, but I know generally I like directors who make you think. And, because I mean, I'm all for like really silly, like street trash style stuff where it's just like, really obnoxious, loud, silly, kind of gross. But like, I really enjoy horror movies that tend to make you think a little bit about what the movie's trying to do, not just necessarily what it's trying to say, because I mean, it's not always the case that movies are really trying to say anything, but what the movie's trying to do, either with, its effects, with the monster in question, or the particular person that it's centered around, or if it's like a psychological horror film, I'm interested in how they explore, the sort of intricacies of the particular psychological issue that's, you know, is it memory? Is it, you know, trauma? Is it some sort of issue of, I guess, perspective or how one sort of understands the world? Like that's what I'm really, you know, so I don't have like a great answer in terms of like who's my go-to person. I mean, you know, certainly there's a lot of people that I would say I enjoy. It's usually harder to find people that like I don't really care for.
Oh, well, that's nice. Yeah. So like you said at the start of our conversation, you're currently a PhD researcher at the University of, is it Guelph or Guelph? Guelph.
Yeah,
Study
it's the University of Guelph, yeah.
Guelph.
I mean,
Okay.
I don't
And you're studying issues of mental health, grief, politics, and imagination through the lens of horror. How did you first decide to study those topics altogether?
So I had a different PhD project when I went to the department, and it sort of wasn't going in a very productive direction. So I decided to shift gears, and I went back to thinking about, well, what were the things that really sort of got me interested in doing the kind of academic work that I do? And, you know, when I did my master's, I wrote a master's thesis on anime film and mushrooms and environmental collapse. And, you know, for me at the time, I was sort of deeply invested in environmental politics and sort of thought that, you know, that there were some interesting things to talk about there. But I guess when I did my PhD, I had been leading a group at the University of Guelph called Philosophy in the Dark for a couple of years. And originally it began as just sort of a fun way to unwind and just bounce ideas off of people. And I would, you know, show a movie or someone else would show a movie, you know, when we talk about different themes. So, you know, I'd have one of my friends come in and they would talk about, you know, Ginger Snaps and Jennifer's Body and talk about, you know, feminism, body horror, queerness. Or, you know, I'd have someone else come in the next week and talk about, you know, medieval philosophy and the, you know, art of marginalia. And then we would watch Nightmare Before Christmas, and you know, somehow it would work. And you know, that's pretty great. So it sort of culminated in the conference that I put on. And that was about the time when I decided to shift directions. And one of the professors in my department said, "Well, why don't you just write about what you actually enjoy writing about? Why don't you write about horror?" And I was
Yeah.
like, "Wow, I hadn't thought about just going back to doing things that I actually enjoy." Wild concept to get paid and actually like what you do.
I know.
So I was like, why not? So next thing you know, I found a new supervisor and a new committee who are all, you know, lovely, fascinating people who were super supportive of this kind of weird approach to talking about politics and talking about epistemology and social issues like femicide, mental health, grief, you know, all through the lens of horror.
Oh, that's amazing. That sounds like such a good program, a great place to be. So, an article came out in 2020 that said that horror movie fans were handling lockdown better than non-horror movie fans. Why do you think that was the case?
Wow, they clearly didn't interview me for that one. That's a good question. Why would we? Because I remember writing a book chapter about a horror movie about, you know, a pandemic during the pandemic. And I was like, this is all very surreal and scary. I don't know why people who enjoy horror would have tolerated the pandemic a lot more easily. Do they give any sense of why that might have been the case from their end?
I don't remember what they actually said, but yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts?
Horror fans tend to be, or oftentimes are introverted, or we have a lot of movies to watch to keep us busy.
Yeah.
We are prepared for this because we watch so much horror, so we're like, we know what to do. We're good, so.
The second part, definitely true. I can't imagine a time in my life where I caught up on so many movies that I had missed. And even though we're talking about horror movies, watching Kung Fu Panda at least 10 times during the pandemic, clearly I was doing the best work I had possibly done in my life. But yeah, I'm not sure. That's an interesting sort of idea. And I mean, certainly there's something to be said about a good chunk of people I know who do enjoy horror, tend to be very introverted, and deal fairly well with sort of isolation. I don't know that I'm one of those people. Introverted, maybe. Good at isolation. Don't
Are there any horror movies that you won't watch or that you won't watch ever again?
know. Oh man, I'm gonna make so many enemies when I say this. I don't really like Eli Roth, and it's I'm not like I don't have a personal vendetta against Eli Roth. It's just I've never really enjoyed most of the movies he's done, and I wish I could come up with a better reason why. Those certainly the Saw movies too, I've never really found I've enjoyed watching those. And it's not because they gross me out or they make me deeply uncomfortable, because I've watched far more troubling things, I suppose. Probably seen more troubling things in my life, but I don't know. Maybe it's like that sort of last scene where it runs through, the entire like build up, where it's like, oh yeah, this thing happened, and then that was that. Oh yeah, and that person was just like, oh okay. I'm just a fan of that sort of like process. But if you're a fan of Saw, if you're a fan of Eli Roth, please, continue to enjoy these movies. I'm just a, goofball. Don't pay attention.
I know there are a lot of people who are not fans of those movies, so you're in good company. Have you ever had any noteworthy experiences seeing a horror movie in theaters?
You know what? I do remember when I saw Midsommar in theaters. Somebody in a row a few behind us was like really upset during that movie. And I don't remember what they ended up doing, but they did leave for a little bit. That's not terribly eventful. But other than that, no, I mean, I wish it could be as, interesting as like one of the Scream movies where you go to watch the movie and then one of those guys shows up. But no, I don't think I've had any like really wild experiences at horror. I mean, maybe when I go see a screening of the original Wicker Man in a week or two in Guelph, I'll be able to have a better story. Maybe somebody will show up dressed as a Wicker Man or something and make a mess of the theater, or maybe someone will forget that it's the original one, not the Nicolas Cage one, and come running in halfway through the movie screaming, "No, the bees, not the bees," or something.
You'll have to let me know if anything fun happens during it.
You will be the
What
first.
has been your favorite horror movie that you've seen in 2023?
You know what? I rewatched it recently because I'm working on a piece on it, and I don't know if people would necessarily categorize it as a horror movie, but I've been turned on to, I've always been a fan of Charles Lawton. And I recently watched, his movie with Robert Mitchum. It's called The Night of the Hunter.
Yeah, I've seen that.
So good. I think the first time I watched it, I was just blown away by how beautiful the movie was. Just the way that some of those shots were framed is just nothing short of fantastic. Robert Mitchum, deeply, on one hand, just so hokey and funny, but on the other hand, it's like you could actually see most people being like, "Oh yeah, he's totally fine." I mean, that's another thing. You know what? That's to go back to any questions about, what scares you. That's one thing that I've been working on that does scare me, is the amount of authority we give to adults in certain situations and ignore what children say. That scares
That is
me.
very true.
On one hand, we expect them to be, smart and quiet and do what they're told, but on the other hand, when they actually have something worth saying, we're like, sorry. We're going to trust this guy over here with the hand tattoos. He seems legit.
Yeah. Are there any horror movies that you love that people generally don't like?
Yes. It was the topic of discussion for the first podcast I was ever on, I think. No, second one. I was on a podcast where we were talking about vampires, and we had to sort of choose different vampire movies, and we would watch them both and then talk about them. And I chose, perhaps wrongly, the movie Doctor Sleep, which I obviously have like some issues with, but generally I tend to like what Mike Flanagan does. And I probably could have gone with the very easy, like, Midnight Mass, although it's not a movie, but it is sort of, fun in that right. But I ended up going with, Doctor Sleep because I was like, there's this sort of like psychic vampire thing going on. And it's certainly not out of the realm of discussion in vampire movies to talk about addiction. I mean, certainly the go-to one for me, I think of as Ganj and Hess. But yeah, so I mean, I've met a lot of people who just say they hate that movie. And it's for different reasons. Like some people hate it because they're like, the guy who's supposed to be, Jack Torrance doesn't look like Jack Nicholson enough, which is like, okay, whatever. Some people, I think, fairly criticize the movie because they're like, oh, it's not like close enough to the book in the ways that matter to them. And I think there is some stuff from the book that probably should have made it into the movie. I mean, my sort of gripe is, the like one thing that I really get annoyed by sometimes in horror, where it's, a person who has mental health issues has to sacrifice themselves, or has addictions, has to sacrifice themselves to redeem themselves and also save everybody. And it's like, Lights Out was an example of that, where like I know that the director meant well, and I understand that that movie came from a particular place, but I'm just tired of, it's just like the, kill your gaze sort of thing. I'm just like tired of seeing, different people, whether you're black or you're queer or you have mental health issues or, why do this kind of thing? It's just kind of tired.
Speaking about mental health in horror movies, have you seen the movie Fear of Rain?
No, I haven't yet.
It's about a girl, a teenage girl who has schizophrenia, and she sees out her window one night her neighbor kill someone, and she tries to tell people what she saw, but she also suffers from hallucinations, so nobody believes her. So it's just about how she goes about navigating that.
Well, clearly I need to watch that because that's like right up the alley of some of the stuff that I write about, from the epistemology perspective as well as mental health. So yeah, no, that's fascinating. I should check that out. Thank you.
If you could remake one horror movie, which one would it be?
Again, it's kind of the problem where I just like so many of them and I wouldn't want to touch them. But I guess if I was going to remake a horror, you know what? I would like to remake, I remember it from when I was a kid, I was fascinated with it and fascinated with ants for years afterwards. I would really like to remake it's a sort of, yeah, have you seen them?
I have not seen them.
It's basically nuclear radioactive giant ants attack America.
Nice.
I think there's a lot of interesting stuff, and my friend Gordon Trenbeth, he's finishing up at Guelph too, and we're collaborators on a lot of film stuff together, including some of the Philosophy in the Dark work. His entire sort of thesis is exploring animals in film, and he takes a lot from horror. And we've talked a lot about just, I guess, the level of interesting things that can be said from the perspective of talking about the environment or talking about the relationship between humans and animals in horror. And so plug to him, but also, I think there's a lot of really cool stuff you could do to talk about, I guess, people's climate anxieties or climate grief. Talk about, our relationship to non-human animals. Because, I mean, I wouldn't want to remake Jaws, for example, because I think that's just like, you can't touch that movie. But them, on the other hand, it's just such a, I don't think it would say anything necessarily today, but it would be a deeply hilarious, Gordon might disagree. It would be a deeply hilarious movie to redo because I could just see it sort of like, if you riff off of that sort of like science fiction, narrative approach from back in the day, but also elements of horror, and they'll make it like generally weird and gross, and maybe also do a lot of practical effects. That'd be fun. Not a, I wouldn't want to do CGI.
Yeah. If you like books about ants coming to life and taking over, you should read the science fiction book Mort, Morte, because it's about ants rising up to take over the planet from humans with the help
Nice.
of cats and dogs.
Love it already.
So my last question is, if you had to spend quarantine with one horror villain, who would it be? And they probably wouldn't kill you, but they just might annoy you or torture you.
One horror villain I would like to hang out with. I might go with, and this might go against everything I said prior, I might go with Jason Voorhees. My
Okay.
reasoning for it is, on one hand, he doesn't say much. And the one thing I think, if you lived with a lot of, if you had a lot of roommates, particularly roommates who were not introverts like you, always wanting to talk to you, always wanting to be in your space, on, you're like, I'm so overloaded from conversation. I just can't do this today. Jason Voorhees is just going to sit on the sofa and completely silent. That's a bonus for him. Yeah, and he, if I have any nightmares, I can be certainly sure that he'll kick Freddy's ass, which is a blessing in disguise. Could be good at hockey. I mean, this is a big thing for Canadians. We love
That's
the
true.
hockey. We love hockey. That might be another element. And I do enjoy going camping. So when I've been able to go, maybe he could show me.
That's amazing. Well, thank you so much for being here. Do you want to tell everyone where they can find you online?
Sure, yeah. So I, of course, have a Twitter, I believe, at Josh Grant Young 1, where you can find me occasionally post stuff that I'm doing. Otherwise, if you want to read my stuff, I have an academia.edu, which has the sort of names of some of the books that my work is in or some of the journals where it is. If you can't easily access the books because they are pretty expensive, drop me a line and I can probably send you a copy of the chapter. Yeah. That's more or less.
Well, thank you again for being here.
Thank you.
That's it for this week's episode of Who's There? I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Joshua Grant Young, and thanks again to Josh for coming on. I'll leave a link to where you can connect with him over on Twitter in the show notes. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Who's There PC. Don't forget to check out our Patreon if you want to get special extra early episodes. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, horror movie recommendations, or you'd like to be a guest in 2024, shoot us an email at whostherepc@gmail.com. Thank you again for being here in 2023. I hope you have an excellent holiday season and new year. Keep your eyes peeled for a couple more episodes, maybe. And until next time, stay scary and never ask who's there.